February 19th. Okay. And we are in Derech Hashem. We're in Chil Gimel Perek Shlishi. This is going to be about Ruach HaKadosh and Nevuah. There are three prakim about Nevuah. So tonight, I anticipate doing about a perek and a half, and next time doing the other perek and a half. So between two different nights, we should finish all three prakim about Nevuah and Ruach HaKadosh. So, which is the end of Chil Gimel. Then we move on to a whole different discussion. So, the Ramchal writes that there are, Hashem put into the world two ways for a person to gain understanding in things. There's two different ways that a person can begin or become more aware, more understanding of how things work. One is what we're used to. One is that a person's intelligence is set up and built in a way that a person can see things, experience things, and then be able to put things together and understand that from one experience they learn one thing, from another experience they learn something else. Putting those two experiences together, you figure out a third thing. And a person can use their intellect to figure things out. Even when we study, whether it's Torah or whether Lahavdil, it's other types of pursuits, what's happening over there is that someone else figured things out and they're putting it down for us to study from. But as we study, we're also figuring things out. The words are helping us figure things out and understand things. And so there is that's the typical way to learn, to understand something. And the longer that you study, presumably the more years that you live, the more you understand. But there's a whole nother way that a person can come to an understanding, and that is through, as he calls it, a shefa from Hashem. Hashem can pour into a person understanding. Nothing to do with a person's own experiences, his own experimentation or study. It's just that Hashem puts into the person's head an understanding of things. That second method is what is called Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is that a person understands things in a way that they didn't do anything. It didn't come from their own work or their own observations. It comes through a shefa means a pouring from Hashem. So that is called Ruach HaKodesh. Now he explains that there's really two types of Ruach HaKodesh. What I just described is the real Ruach HaKodesh. There is another type of Ruach HaKodesh, which is not really Ruach HaKodesh, but it's called Ruach HaKodesh. In Chazal, they use the terms interchangeably, and that is that sometimes a person will understand something and not realize where it came from. Like all of a sudden, something just pops into my head, and I get it. I understand it. But it wasn't through observation, it wasn't through any kind of my own study or thought, just all of a sudden this makes sense. That is also called Ruach HaKodesh, but it's not real Ruach HaKodesh, because real Ruach HaKodesh, the person knows it's coming from upstairs. Real Ruach HaKodesh, you understand something, you say, and not only do you understand it, you understand that your understanding is coming from Shamayim. That's real Ruach HaKodesh. So when we say, for example, that you say someone in the Chumash said something with Ruach HaKodesh. So that's the real Ruach HaKodesh, meaning that they knew that they were getting some sort of information from upstairs, from Shamayim. When we say that, for example, that we say that Rashi was written with Ruach HaKodesh, I'm not sure that means the real type of Ruach HaKodesh. It probably more means the second type of Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, he understood things that didn't make sense for him to understand. He just understood because he had Ruach HaKodesh. But the Ruach HaKodesh there is likely the second type of Ruach HaKodesh, in that it's not obvious where it came from. I don't mean to say that Rashi couldn't figure out where it came from. Of course Rashi knew where Rashi knew that his inspirations came from Shemayim. But what I mean to say is that the inspiration that he had was a sudden inspiration, and it wasn't clear that it came from Shemayim. You know, of course he knew it came from Shemayim. Real Ruach HaKodesh, a person is margish. They perceive that they are getting information from Shemayim. That's real Ruach HaKodesh. These things are hard for us to appreciate because it's never happened to us, at least not to me. So, but there is a real Ruach HaKodesh, a person does perceive where it's coming from. But these things are not Nevuah. These things are Ruach HaKodesh. Nevuah is a completely different experience. Now, if I were to ask you, what is Nevuah? What is it? Can you define Nevuah in just a few words? Maybe even one word. Maybe three words, four words, five words. How would you define Nevuah?
Speaking to Hashem, or Hashem speaking to you.
Okay, Hashem speaking to you. Did you say the same thing?
Yeah.
But I think that's the way we all understand Nevuah. It means Hashem speaking to you. And the root of Nevuah, Nun Beis, I think it's Aleph, Niba, so it really means, it literally means, I believe, to speak. However, the Ramchal emphasizes that that's not what Nevuah really is. Nevuah is not a communication from Hashem. Nevuah is a clear, perceived dveikus to Hashem. That's what Nevuah is. We've spoken before about the fact that although we are made up both of Ruchnius and Gashmius, but we perceive Gashmius. When I stub my toe, it hurts. When I eat food that's good, it tastes good. I enjoy it. We perceive when it's cold outside, I shiver. And it feels good to walk into a hot room after being cold outside. These are physical sensations that I perceive as real. Whereas Ruchnius, although I know intellectually it's real, but we don't perceive it as real. You don't get this clear, good sensation that you can put your finger on. That's the sensation of good Ruchnius feelings. And that's the sensation of bad Ruchnius feelings. We may have some sort of a sense of overall goodness when we feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we may have an overall sense of badness or disappointment when we're distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, it's not perceived as real as we've perceived Gashmius. Nevuah is perceiving in a real sense, just like you perceive Gashmius, perceiving a dveikus with Hashem. That's what Nevuah is. Now, Nevuah, when that happens, when a person has a real dveikus b'Hashem that they actually perceive, they automatically understand things that they wouldn't understand without Nevuah. Nevuah gives a person a clarity that's impossible to achieve without Nevuah. Nevuah is, with that dveikus comes with it, a shefa from Shamayim that exceeds Ruach HaKodesh, and a person understands beyond the scope of a normal human being. This understanding is both in things that are in this world, regular things in this world, meaning a Navi can understand very clearly the sciences and things of that nature, because he's getting a shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives him an understanding of Hashem's creation. And the physical world is part of Hashem's creation. So he understands the physical world in a sudden way with a clarity that exceeds anybody's own efforts to understand the physical world. And he understands things on a ruchnius level as well, because that's also part of Hashem's creation. A Navi, this hisdavkus b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, this connection, the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives him perception which exceeds anything else. Included in that perception could be knowing the future. That could be part of the perception. Doesn't have to be, that could be part of it. And included in this, there's one other example he gave that I wanted to emphasize, is he mentions knowing the future. Okay, I can't, it doesn't jump out at me. But he describes a little bit what this intense perception is, what it really is, and how it affects him. Now, the Navi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gets this connection to Hashem that is so powerful, what happens is the physical body stops functioning in the control of the Navi. He completely loses control of his physical body, and the body is taken over by a direct control from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us that a Navi can look to the outsider as being meshuga, as being like drunk, like they've lost control of themselves. They're not going to act in a disgusting manner, but they look like they're not acting as if they're in control, because they're not. Their body has been completely taken over by this shefa from Hashem. And the way it works is that the first thing that is affected by this hisdavkus, by this connection to Hashem, is the dimyonos, is the imagination. We talked about dimyon when we talked about dreams, and how dimyon usually is purely an expression of what goes on in this world, and what we see, and what we experience, and we think about things, put things together. But when the Navi gets the shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing it affects is his dimyon, is his imagination. That's why Nevi'im have visions. They see things. That means they're seeing things in here. And it affects that first. From that picture, then comes more specific words and instructions and directions. This is true for all Nevi'im. All Nevi'im have the same process, in that they become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then their dimyon is affected, and then they understand things, and they see things, and they have instructions and words, etc. But there are many, 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 many levels of nevuah. Just like with anything else, it's not an all or nothing. There's many different levels of nevuah. There's a threshold that when you cross that threshold, you now have that hisdavkus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's nevuah. But how that nevuah manifests itself in each particular Navi is different. Each one is different, and each experience of nevuah is different. So you'll have Nevi'im who will get extremely close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore their perception will be heightened in almost everything. And then you'll have Nevi'im who will get somewhat close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will have a perception in one particular area, and that's it. Some people become Nevi'im many times over. Some people get a Nevuah once in their lifetime. Nevuah depends on the person, depends on the way that they get their Nevuah, depends on how much they've prepared for it, and their closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But all Nevi'im have crossed a certain threshold in which they now perceive closeness to Hashem, a real perception, the same way you perceive it when you stub your toe, it hurts. They perceive this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real in a real way, no different than a physical sensation that you would have. Because the body is becomes so bottle when a Navi gets Nevuah, it can affect him. And the Navi, we know that the Navim sometimes fall on their faces. They have no kayach to stand anymore. Because their bodies become so overwhelmed by this experience. As he explains, a physical body really is unable to handle such an intense ruchnius experience. Because the physical body is built to handle physical things, not built to handle ruchnius in that way. Now, ultimately, our physical bodies do have the capacity to experience ruchnius in an even more intense way, but that's in Olam Haba. That's a Tchias HaMesim. That's when the neshama will completely subsume the guf, and the neshama will become the ikar, and it will bring the guf closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in our state right now, where our guf is so connected to this world, it's really not able to properly experience such an intense ruchnius connection to Hashem. That's why Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai died. The Gemara says they died, and the Malachim had to put the neshamas back into them. The neshamas jumped out of them. It was such an intense experience, ruchnius experience, the guf couldn't handle it. A Navi gets a me'ain of that. Any Navi gets a me'ain of that. It's such an intense experience, the body just loses its ability to function. And he could fall on his face, he could become physically ill. The body is just not able to deal with it. When the Nevuah is over, the perceptions the Navi had when he got the Nevuah will not be forgotten. They will be remembered in a crystal clear fashion. Everything is remembered. It's not like, I had this and I can't remember exactly what it was. You know, when you wake up and you had a dream and you're trying to piece it back together, sometimes it's more real, sometimes it's not. That's not the way it works with Nevuah. With Nevuah, when you're done with the Nevuah, it's a crystal clear picture in your mind of what happened. You know exactly what you saw. You know exactly what if there was a communication, exactly what it was. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. The instructions are clear. Everything is clear with Nevuah, if it's real Nevuah.
So when there's a mashal involved, did they perceive it in a mashal, or are they just expressing it in a mashal?
Okay, so what happens is when there's a mashal involved, they first imagine it. I saw. Whatever the picture is, they saw it. That's the first thing. Then comes the rest of it. Now, here's what you're asking is this, and this is where he explains this. Sometimes, then there's three things that can happen with that picture. One thing that could happen is just the picture. The Navi is given the picture, and that's it. That's it. So he sees a picture of a Megillah, and there's a tree, and there's a stone. And the Nevuah is over. Now, it's not that he's not sure if he had Nevuah. He knows he had Nevuah, because he knows he had that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he knows that he was meant to see the picture of the Megillah and the tree and the stone. Now, what to do with that is left up to the Navi's own perception, his own Das Torah, his own intellect, to figure it out. That's one. The next higher level than that would be that along with the picture came an understanding of that picture, meaning that there was an interpretation given along with it. What I mean, let me just start again. The picture is not wishy-washy. It's not like fuzzy, I'm not sure what I saw, or I'm not sure if I saw anything. That's not, Nevuah is very crystal clear. I saw this, this, and this. Now, Hashem expects me to figure out what to do with it. That's the lowest level. Then there is, I saw this, this, and this, and Hashem told me that this is what it means. So I say what it means. The highest level is, I saw this, this, and this, and Hashem then told me the words to say. He gave me the words to say that go along with the picture. So that would be like, you have the picture and the caption under the picture. He gave me the exact words to say. That's the highest level. Every nevuah that is written down is the highest level. Every nevuah that is written down are not the words chosen by the Navi. They are the words given to the Navi by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say those specific and particular words. There were millions of Nevi'im who lived whose nevuahs were not written down. And they had some of the other types of nevuahs. Nevuahs that came with a picture only, that came with a picture and a description and an understanding of the picture, but they were not told specific words. The nevuahs that were nechtevu l'daros were with specific words. Now, you may be thinking, but isn't that what Torah is with Moshe Rabbeinu? We're going to have a whole discussion next time about the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and everybody else. But at this point, let's just make it clear that even when Hashem gives a Navi specific words, those words could be dependent on the Navi, meaning that Yechezkel is going to get words that fit with Yechezkel. Yeshaya is going to get words that fit with Yeshaya. And depending on the differences between Yechezkel and Yeshaya, the words will be a little different. Therefore, you'll find differences in expressions between the Nevi'im. Like with Yechezkel, you always find the term Ben Adam all the time in Sefer Yechezkel. That says a lot. That term says a lot about Yechezkel because it's who he was, and Ben Adam says something about him. So you have to, when you look at the words Ben Adam and try to figure out what those words mean and what they're trying to connote, you're learning something about the Mensch, about Yechezkel. Whereas it can affect that. It can also affect the how detailed the words are. It has to do with the Navi himself. Moshe Rabbeinu, the words Moshe Rabbeinu got have nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. It is the pure words of the Torah. Meaning that it wouldn't have mattered who would have been Rabbeinu. The same exact words would have been transmitted. Bracious, Bar Elohim, Esa Shemayim, Esa Shemayim, Esa Shemayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who is Zaycha, and no one can ever be on that Madrega. But nothing is filtered through Moshe Rabbeinu. It is purely the words of the Torah. Whereas, if a different Navi would have gotten the same Nevuah as Yechezkel and told the specific words, the words would be a little different. Because it's words that go through the Navi. But see, what people make a mistake and they think the Navi is choosing the words. The Navi is not choosing the words. All of Sefer Yechezkel, the words were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just that the words HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose were words that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, filtered through Yechezkel. He chose words that were matim with Yechezkel, that made sense to be through Yechezkel. And therefore, the Nevuah does have some personality to it. There is some personal parts of Nevuah. Now what I mean to say is, the Nevuah is affected by who is saying it, but not because he's choosing the words. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice of words reflect that particular Navi or Nevi'ah. Not every Nevuah has a Shlichus. Meaning, you can get a Nevuah and you perceive complete clarity of Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're given a picture and you're given a description of the picture. You probably wouldn't be given exact words because the Nevuahs, Shehutzah, Chuladaras are all written down already. But given a description of the picture, and it may only be for you. It's not to be repeated. It's not to do anything with it. It's not to go and warn somebody about something. It's just for you. It could be that it's also that you could say it over to somebody else, but you weren't instructed to dafka go tell somebody else. It doesn't have to be a shlichus. Hashem doesn't have to be sending you to do something. It is ultimately nevuah is a dveikus b'al kadosh baruch hu that is clearly perceived, and that creates all of the additional knowledge that a navi has. Now, nevuahs, when they do have a shlichus, have very specific shlichus. Go tell so and so. Don't tell so and so. Tell all of Kol Yisrael. Tell them tomorrow. Do this, do that. There could be many different instructions. When you ask the question that why is it that Rivka understood that the bracha should go to Yaakov and Yitzchak didn't understand that? The answer to that question is because Rivka had a nevuah. V'rav Yavod Tzayer. Now, who was that nevuah said to? It wasn't said to Rivka. It was said to Shem, Ben Noach. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem La." Vatelach lidrosh es Hashem. Vayomer Hashem La. Zot Rashi, Shem Chazal. Hashem told it to Shem to tell her. So Shem got a nevuah, perhaps the most powerful nevuah in all of history, other than Matan Torah itself, which is Shnei Goyim Bevitnech. So Shem told Rivka, because that's what he was told to do. He wasn't told to tell Yitzchak. And Rivka wasn't told to tell Yitzchak. Hashem wanted a situation, as my Rabbi Vitzberg was explained, Hashem wanted a situation where Rivka knew that Yaakov needed to get the brachos, and Yitzchak wouldn't know. Hashem wanted it that way, that the brachos would have to be gotten in some orchestrated manner because Yitzchak didn't know the nevuah. That was deliberate. But that's an example where nevuah has particular instructions. You don't get to just announce it from the rooftops. It depends what the instructions were. In that particular case, the instructions were, Shem, tell it to Rivka. Period. And he did. It wasn't until Moshe Rabbeinu came along and he was told the words of the Torah, and that nevuah was part of the words of the Torah, so now it is part of Torah. So it's everybody has it. It's part of Torah. But at the moment that the nevuah was said, it was said to Shem to tell Rivka. That's an example. Other times, the Navi is told, get up on the rooftops and yell it to everybody. You have the Nevi'im, Yishai, Yechezkel, Yirmiyoh, who are going around telling people, you got it, do tshuva, you got it, and all the different nevuahs that they're saying. Those nevuahs were told to them to tell everybody. A different type of shlichus. But there doesn't have to be a shlichus with nevuah. Nevi'im need to work to get to the madreg of nevuah. You have in Navi, you have B'nei HaNevi'im. B'nei HaNevi'im weren't Nevi'im. They were learning about Nevuah, how to get to be a Navi. You can train to become a Navi. Today, Bachram go to yeshiva and they learn so they could learn for smicha, right? They could learn, take a series of bechinas, and they get smicha. You could learn for Nevuah. Obviously, the learning is much more intense. Obviously, the time it takes is much longer, and obviously it's not a question of taking tests. It's training oneself to get to a level of dveikus that is nevuah. The Rambam writes that nevuah is something that you can work on, and if you go through this process, you will become a navi. Now, I don't know if it's possible today because nevuah, we don't have nevuah today, but in the time of nevuah, if you went through the process, you would become a Navi. So, sounds pretty simple. But of course, it isn't because they're not easy steps. Limashal. One prerequisite of Nevuah is that a Navi has to be thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time. That means every waking moment, the Navi is never Masiach Das from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of what a Navi has to be. So just think about it. Think about standing in Shemona Esrei and trying to have Kavanah for all of the words. How long does it take before our mind starts to wander? Start thinking about all the other things that are going on in our lives? Right? It's hard enough for us just to spend 5 minutes in concentration. A Navi has to never lose the awareness of Shivisi Hashem Nagdi Samet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here and he's always having Kavanah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what he's doing. Eating, whatever he's doing for his bodily needs, everything. Working, everything is completely davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of the process of being a Navi. This is important because we have to know that whenever you're learning Tanakh and you come across a Navi, you have to recognize that you're dealing with someone, but just by virtue of the fact that they are a Navi, you're dealing with someone who is already beyond our imagination, how big a tzaddik they are, how big a person they are. You conjure up in your mind the biggest people you've ever come across. You're younger than I am, so you haven't, you know, I when I was younger, so, you know, I saw Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Think of the biggest person you've ever come in contact with, and they don't come to the toenails of any minor Navi. Minor Navi, I'm talking about. Not like Yeshaya. I mean, even like a Navi who said three words, and that's it. Then we have Nechtev Aladaris. Even the Navim who weren't Nechtev Aladaris. To be a Navi meant to have an incredible Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we just have no hasaga of what that is. The Nevi'im can be trained, and they were trained, and they studied to be Nevi'im. As a Navi, when they become a Navi, as we mentioned, they get a Nevuah, there's no ambiguity. It's not like a person is kind of wishy-washy and they're kind of in a float, you know, dreamlike state. I'm not sure what's going on. A lot of people perceive Nevuah as like being in a drugged up state. They're like, hey, it's so wonderful. It's not. Nevuah is an intense clarity. However, Nevuah itself can happen gradually. When a person has not yet achieved Nevuah, and they're learning to be a Navi, and they're growing in their Dveikus, they're growing in their Yiras Shamayim, they're growing in their Ahavas Hashem and their Yiras Hashem, they're growing in all these areas, then the Nevuah can slowly begin to happen. So the Ramchal writes that there are as the Nevuah is happening, a Navi may not realize that it's happening. When the Nevuah comes in its full force, the Navi knows. There's no ambiguity. It is absolutely clear. But a Navi who isn't used to getting Nevuah, in the beginning stages of the Nevuah that's coming gradually, he may not realize that this is Nevuah. So the Ramchal explains that's the pshat in Shmuel HaNavi and in Moshe Rabbeinu. Shmuel HaNavi, you know the story, when he first got his Nevuah, what happened? He went to Eli because he thought what? He heard a voice calling him. And he thought
that it was
Eli. He didn't realize it was Hashem. This happens once, twice, three times, and Eli says to him, go back, and if you get called again, you should say, Daber Hashem ki shamei avdecha. Because Eli understood this was a Nevuah.
So how about clarity? If he doesn't know,
because he didn't have it yet. It was a gradual process. So he hadn't become a Navi yet. He was on his way to becoming a Navi, but he wasn't a Navi yet. That was his first Nevuah, and it didn't hit him full force. It was this gradual thing. Once it hit him, then it was complete clarity. Once Hashem actually started speaking, but in the as it started, it was a gradual thing. It was, and he says the same thing with the sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the sneh, and he heard the voice, which sounded like his father's voice, Amram, calling to him. But he didn't realize yet that this was Nevuah, because it was gradual. It was. The only thing I can give is, you know, that you have a dimmer on a light. So you're standing in the room, and the light is off, and now someone starts to turn the dimmer, so it starts to get lighter, boom, and it's really light. When it's really light, you know it's really light. But as it's gradually happening, you may not first understand or realize what's going on over here, and then boom, now you know. That can happen to a Navi, particularly the first time he gets Nevuah in his lifetime. But as you said, once a Navi is malumud in Nevuah, he gets it a lot, then he knows. He knows right away, as soon as that dimmer starts, he knows, okay, Nevuah, I'm about to get a Nevuah. He knows it, because he's been there, done that. He knows the system. No matter what, though, when the Nevuah comes in its full force, doesn't matter if it's the first time, it's the 12th time, it's the Navi knows. Full clarity. Absolute full clarity. Sometimes a Navi will be told to do things with his Nevuah. Like you find with Yechezkel, take an Eitz Echad Uksov Olav, you know, take the other Eitz and write on it and put the Eitzim together. You find that you have Yechezkel going to the Atamos Hayaveshos. You know, you have different tongues that are told to do things. Those things are meant to symbolize what is happening in Shamayim and to trigger the things that will happen in Shamayim when they're done with the proper kavanos. Now, as great as a Navi is, a Navi could do something wrong in his Nevuah. It is possible for a Navi to do something wrong in his Nevuah. We do have a mitzvah in the Torah. One of the Tariag mitzvahs is that a Navi is not allowed to go against his own Nevuah. We all have to listen to the Nevi'im, and a Navi is not allowed to go against his own Nevuah. A Navi who's Oivra al Divrei Atzmai, he's punished. Yonah tried to avoid Nevuah. He tried not to do what he was told to do. He tried to get away from Nevuah. You can have Nevi'im who do the wrong thing with their Nevuah. Now, obviously, since we're talking about people on such high madrigas, like all the others of the great people have to be understood. What does that mean? Like, how? What are they doing? Why wouldn't they listen? But it could be that a Navi would have a reason why they wouldn't want to do the Nevuah that they're being told to do, and that would be an Avera. There are also Nevi'im. People could make up the fact that they had Nevuah and they didn't really. A Navi Sheker. That can happen also. So Nevuah presents with it certain challenges and pitfalls. But the etzem definition of Nevuah does not change. Now, what we have not yet covered about Nevuah is the inyan of the Nevi'ei HaSheker, how that can happen, which is going to revolve somewhat around the Kochos HaTumah of Ruchnias also. In addition to the Kochos HaTara, there are Kochos HaTumah which can get in the way. We've discussed that. We also have not discussed in detail about the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So these topics we're going to leave for next time. We're going to build on what we said, so we'll have to chaz what we said tonight and then continue with that the next time.
So what does it mean that Bilam was a Navi?
Yeah, so Bilam, okay, that's a good question. Bilam was given a Nevuah. Bilam was given a Madrega that he didn't really deserve. That's what Chazal asked. Why would Hashem give him that level of Nevuah if he didn't really deserve it? And my answer is so that the Goyim will say, otherwise they'll taina, you and Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not fair, we didn't have anybody like that. So Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a Navi, and you'll see not only will he not help you, he'll make things worse for you. Because Bilam was part of Gidrosh HaOlam. Since the Mabel, everybody was careful with Arias, and then Bilam deliberately had them break down the barriers of Arias in order to nachshel the Jewish people. What that means is that a guy is not on the Madrega to be able to get Nevuah. Everything we're describing here about how a physical body can't handle Nevuah, a guy is even less than that. It's not just that physical body can't handle Nevuah, he can't even handle the challenge of being a Navi. Meaning, it's not just B'shas Maisa, fall on your face and, you know, afterwards, okay, but someone who isn't a Tzaddik and a Yarei Shamayim will take Nevuah and it will corrupt him. And that's what happened with Bilam. The message over there is that Nevuah is not just some kind of a, you know, thing to bandy about. Okay, here, Hashem says do this, Hashem says do that. It's a tremendous koyach. And it's meant to be only for someone who's on that madrega. You give it to someone who's not on that madrega, which can't normally happen, but in Bilam's case it was deliberately done to make a point. It will corrupt him and destroy him. And that's what happened with Bilam. But you're right, that was abnormal. Deliberately abnormal, it was abnormal.
So what does it mean that if you bleed the earth from, you don't have power in the law?
So the Gemara says that Nevuah can't happen outside Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara says that Yechezkel had Nevuah. I mean, the Pasuk says Yechezkel had Nevuah outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks the question, how could it be? The Gemara says a Navi that already got Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael could continue getting Nevuah outside Eretz Yisrael. But to begin getting Nevuah outside Eretz Yisrael, it seems like that's not possible. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu got Nevuah at Har Sinai for the first time, at the Sneh. I would imagine that in that case, the Pshat is that's before Klal Yisrael got Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu also became a Navi while still in Haran. Lech Lecha. But I imagine that's all because it was before we got Eretz Yisrael. Once we got Eretz Yisrael, then it seems they have to be in Eretz Yisrael to get your first Nevuah. Now even Yonah, there is another reference to Yonah getting a Nevuah elsewhere in Tanakh. So it's a little bit, that whole discussion is a little bit difficult.
Then why did he even leave?
Right, no, but he didn't, it's true, he was right. When he left, he didn't get Nevuah. Hashem only forced him back, and then he got Nevuah. Right. Okay. Thank you.